Blog Talk Radio. Steps to Christ. Chapter 2. The Sinner's Need of Christ. Man was originally endowed with noble powers and a well-balanced mind. He was perfect in his being and in harmony with God. His thoughts were pure, his aims holy. But through disobedience, his powers were perverted, and selfishness took the place of love. His nature became so weakened through transgression that it was impossible for him in his own strength to resist the power of evil. He was made captive by Satan, and would have remained so forever had not God specially interposed. It was the tempter's purpose to thwart the divine plan in man's creation and fill the earth with woe and desolation. And he would point to all this evil as the result of God's work in creating man. In his sinless state, man held joyful communion with him in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. But after his sin, he could no longer find joy in holiness, and he sought to hide from the presence of God. Such is still the condition of the unrenewed heart. It is not in harmony with God and finds no joy in communion with him. The sinner could not be happy in God's presence. He would shrink from the companionship of holy beings. Could he be permitted to enter heaven, it would have no joy for him. The spirit of unselfish love that reigns there, every heart responding to the heart of infinite love, would touch no answering chord in his soul. His thoughts, his interests, his motives would be alien to those that actuate the sinless dwellers there. He would be a discordant note in the melody of heaven. Heaven would be to him a place of torture. He would long to be hidden from him who is its light and the center of its joy. It is no arbitrary decree on the part of God that excludes the wicked from heaven. They are shut out by their own unfitness for its companionship. The glory of God would be to them a consuming fire. They would welcome destruction, that they might be hidden from the face of him who died to redeem them. It is impossible for us, of ourselves, to escape from the pit of sin in which we are sunken. Our hearts are evil, and we cannot change them. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Job 14:4, Romans 8:7. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human effort, all have their proper sphere, but here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change the heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless faculties of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. The Savior said, "Except a man be born from above, unless he shall receive a new heart, new desires, purposes, and motives, leading to a new life, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. The idea that it is necessary only to develop the good that exists in man by nature is a fatal deception. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, 1 Corinthians 2:14, John 3:7. Of Christ it is written, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the only name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, John chapter 1, verse 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It is not enough to perceive the loving kindness of God, to see the benevolence the fatherly tenderness of his character. It is not enough to discern the wisdom and justice of his law, to see that it is founded upon the eternal principle of love. Paul the Apostle saw all this when he exclaimed, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. But he added, in the bitterness of his soul anguish and despair, I am carnal, sold under sin. Romans 7, verse 16, verse 12, and verse 14. He longed for the purity, the righteousness, to which in himself he was powerless to attain, and cried out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7:24. Such is the cry that has gone up from the burdened hearts in all lands and in all ages. To all there is but one answer. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Many are the figures by which the Spirit of God has sought to illustrate this truth and make it plain to souls that long to be free.
Good evening, my dear beloved. This is Sister Powell, who will be your co-host this evening. Sister Leola will join us soon. I just want to give God thanks for all his blessings. And we are going to go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this privilege. Thank you that we can join this evening to listen to some of the last day's event. We know that the earth is closing down. We know, dear Father, that your coming is very near. So we ask you, Father, to bless each one of us, fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit, use us mightily so that we will be able to go. Share your words, dear, all who we come contact. We ask you to pour your blessings upon each family on this line, Lord. You know each one of us, Sister Leola, Brother Rick and his family, Sister Carla and her family, for Sister Leola and her family, Sister Stephanie and her family, Sister Powell and her family, Sister Carla, Sister Tamiko, Sister Sister Barnaby, Sister Cancinelli, and Brother Eli, and everyone, Lord. We ask you to cover us under your blood, Brother Yudi, and also Brother O'Neill. We lift them up. And as we come to you tonight, Lord, to give you the praise, send your Holy Spirit within us so that our heart will be filled. We want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, welcome once more. Welcome to the Sunday last day's event, Advent Light, and we wish that everyone have a blessed day and come prepared, ready to share the goodness of God. And I just welcome all. Welcome those from the Netherlands who join us, those from Canada. We also welcome those from Africa, Asia, Jamaica, Japan, Lord Maryland, Lord, and also Tennessee, and all of the adjoining area, Lord. We welcome each one. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My dear beloved, welcome, and this evening we will read our scripture passage from Daniel 10, right? With Daniel 10 to 7 and 8, right? I'm coming, my dear. I just write down and my book lost me, okay? So we're going to go into our scripture passage. And I'm asking someone, if you'd like to read, if you could just press number 1. That I open Daniel 7, 9 to 10. Right, so I'm going to open the line. 843206, your line is open. Can you find the scripture passage for me? Daniel 7, 9 to 12. We were just talking a while ago about judgment before the end. This is not a sad story or a topic, but is a topic there that each and every one of us, right, have to be ready and to prepare for that great day. So 843-206, your line is open. Can you read Daniel 7:9-10 for me, please?
Yeah. Good evening, Sister Powell. Thank you so much for opening my line. Yes, as soon as I get it here, I will definitely read Daniel 7:9-10. Amen. Amen. Daniel 7:9-10. And it says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I'm supposed to be reading 9.
Daniel 7:9-10.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And verse 10 says, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Amen. Do I read 11 too?
No, ma'am. That's okay. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, for reading this wonderful story. And this story is telling us about judgment before the end, right? And it said, what subject, and I'm reading this little passage from the Great Controversy, and the topic is judgment before the end. And the Great Controversy, with the Great Controversy, chapter 28. Just a little portion, and then I will open the line. You know, this is not a subject that we have to be afraid of. This is a subject that we all have to go through. And it said, what subject is more important than that of this judgment, and how urgent it is that we learn all we can about this great day, that it is soon to come upon us all. The Bible tells us so much about it, and when it will convince, and how will it be conducted, who will take part, the book of record, the statute book, and our advocate. The investigated judgment, one of the most solemn events in all history, a matter that affects every one of us. So as we have been studying about the judgment, investigated judgment, you know, we know that is one of the present truths that God wants his people to know about and for us to share it. And if this message was presented to Daniel, you know, this was presented to the prophet Daniel in a vision and sudden solemn day when the characteristics and all the lives mentioned pass in review before the judge of all the earth. Who will be that judge? Not the earthly judge. That will be the judge of heaven. So let us all, you know, get ourselves prepared and be ready, my dear beloved, because when that judge come down, you know, to judge each and every one of us, we have to be right. We have to have his character. We have to be able to stand, you know. So I pray tonight, you know, as we all join this line, that, you know, our heart, you know, will be softened, and that we will be ready and waiting for our Lord, and also to be obedient to go and share his word. So I just want to thank everyone for joining, and I'm going to open the line now, my dear beloved. Okay, thank you for joining, right? 985, your line is open.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda. calling from Hummer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us last night and waking us up this morning. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. I just want to give thanks to God because he's worthy to be praised. And thanks for I ask God to bless all my sisters and brothers wherever they may be, whatever situation they may be in, and just take care of them. Bless all the homeless and stuff. I've seen somewhere upstate that they had a, I don't know if it was a storm or a tornado, but I ask God to bless them. The storm they're going through, and have some help and preparation for them, and until the storm passes. I know it's going to take a while, like over here it's taking us, but I just pray to the Lord that he be with them and help them through it. I would like to read a prayer. It's just going slow. Okay, I read one. I got Stuart's. Okay. Thank you for calling me to be a part of your good works. Help me to use my time, talent, and treasure in a way that honors you and further your kingdom. Please accept my gifts and my service and use them to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is what Sister Powell was just saying. The Lord wants us to take it, to use it, and share with other people. So this is what the Lord wants us to do here. He wants us to use his service. He wants us to be a part of his good work. That's what he's calling for. He wants us to use our time, talent, and treasure and honor and accept the gifts and service and go out and share and help someone and do all the works we've been doing like we did that day or one-on-one or as we meet the people and share so that, you know, they'll know what's going on. And so they can tell somebody so we can send the message that God is real and he's not playing. And, you know, and sometimes when you tell people that, you go to thinking, like, well, I better try to do what you do. Like, I tell them to do something. I say, look, can't nobody tell me God is real? Because, I mean, every time I say, can't nobody tell me God's not? I say, let me tell you, I could just tell you this quick testimony. I say, I got on a bed of affliction several times, and I always was caught home alone. Couldn't even pick up the phone to call no one. I said, there was a time I had got blew up, couldn't call nobody. I was by myself. Everybody in the house passed out, couldn't wake them up. It wasn't with two people, one of my ex-husband and my son, couldn't wake them up. And I had to get to the hospital, and I say, I was burnt up, one hand, shock. I could drive a car. I wasn't supposed to, doctor, when I got there, but I drove it. I said, you know, the Lord hadn't told me to get them keys, use one hand, drive to the emergency room, and I didn't, doctor, my brain wasn't supposed to be working. Because I wasn't supposed to drive that car in an electrical shock. And I drove all the way to the hospital in pain and shock. And went there And she waited on talking to us and looked at me. She was in a what? They couldn't believe me. I said, but God, let me drove here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he let me maintain the road and everything. And you know, they just was like laid me in the bed, kept watching me and waited till they was able to call somebody in my family. I kept hearing them. I was able to hear, ask them if I was crazy, if I was trying to kill myself, asking everything. And I'm like, she said, no. My sister would never try to kill herself. No, she's not a man who would do something like that. No, no, no. And you know, and I was just listening. And I said, no, he just don't know. God was with me. God had me because I just worked the whole job all night. And you know, and I tell them, they said, girl, what? I said, girl, you can write a book on me if I stand here a little longer. And I said, God save you? I'm like, what would you mean, God save me? You a sinner. I'm a what? Excuse me? You a Christian? Oh, since you're a Christian, I'm a sinner. Where? You never sin? I said, well, I'll rebuke you. I know I ain't the best. But she figured, you know, I was going out, partying, and this. I was a sinner. Now, she was a Christian. That's not, this is my family member, a cousin. But this is what they said back then, you know. She a Christian, I'm a sinner. And God save you. That's how they look at it when I tell them my story. God save you. Sometimes they say, God save you and let my mother die when I tell them about the officer. And I'm like, what you mean? I'm like, you know, and I'm like, sometimes I don't say nothing because I go to wondering, thinking, and I say, Lord, well, bless them and help them. Now that I got into the word, that's what I would say now. But before then, and I'm like, excuse me, but thank God be the glory, you know, you just hear all kind of things now. And I'm like, well, that's just a testimony. Some people that's in the God, they just say, praise the Lord, you know, and it's your glory, you know. But other people, they get stunned. But then they're going to say, well, God save you? And I'm like, praise the Lord, you know. And I hear some people say, well, God let you live. And my mama didn't live. My so-and-so didn't live. And she, well, I don't know how to come to them with that because I just didn't know what to say. I felt so bad after that. But I thank God. Anyway, I just didn't know what to say. And I just didn't say anything. I just said, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. But thank God for that. I just asked you to keep everyone in prayer. I just wanted to share a little testimony, show you how both sides went. So thank God for just the power of my line. God bless you. Have a good day, Brother John.
Amen, amen, amen.
This is our Brother John from Louisiana, and I just want to say thank God for his many blessings and watching over us all the time. You know, pay for you like you do. And I just was thinking, I wanted to share something with everyone. Just was thinking about the word of God and how powerful it is and it guides us. And I started thinking about the scripture when it said a person can't live off bread alone. And when I thought about that, I thought about just like we need to eat food and drink to keep us going and keep us healthy and keep us alive. Another thing we do need is God's word, you know, God's word in us. Just like the food and drink in us, we need God's word in us and to help us stay healthy, you know, and help us to keep it going and everything. And I'm just saying you need that just as much as food. That's all I'm saying. It's right up there like with food and water. The word of God, it helps us do many things and keep us ahead so we can have direction in our life. you know, give us a sense of purpose and a meaning. So that's all I wanted to say. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing, encouraging, and, you know, praising God for his word. And, you know, testimony of Sister Brenda, you know, as the Lord said unto us in his word, we have to testify, you know, things that we did not know. And, you know, now we are studying God's word. We find that the word is like a sweet incense. The word is like a cool drink of water. The word is most powerful, Brother John, so that we can share this word. And this is the word, the truth that God wants us to carry out throughout the world wherever we go. So I just want to thank everyone, you know, who really join and come on this line to share the goodness of God and also to share his word. Thank you, and my dear beloved, open this line. 518-744, your line is open. Can you tell your name or where you're calling from? Welcome on last day event.
Thanks.
Sunday.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Powell, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And, wow, that was quite the testimony by Sister Brenda. That was, I just thank her for sharing that with us, because those are some powerful things. And sometimes people wonder what God has done for us. Well, she has a real testimony, and I just thank her for sharing that. And Brother John was talking about the Word of God and how important it is. And as Brother John was talking about that, I was thinking, you know, we need bread and water to physical bodies to live. But there's going to come a day, Sister Powell, and Brother John was talking about this, that without the Word of God, we will live no longer. So Brother John was right on target with what he was saying, that the Word of God is going to keep us alive, because when Jesus comes, without us being in his Word, without us knowing what is going on, we will cease to exist in place of judgment. And it's so good to be able to get into the Word, know the Word, study the Word, and to be a partaker of that Word. And I just thank Brother John for bringing out those points. I was up today, Sister Paula, you'd be interested in this, up to the Miller Farm, setting up a tent for we have a William Miller Day every year, our conference does, and all are invited. So I'd love to see Sister Powell and some of her church members up there, if you can make it this coming Sabbath, starting at 9:30 will be the service at the Miller. And it's a wonderful place to be. I was up there, and you just look around and you think of all the history. The history of Adventism it didn't start there, but that plays a big part in Adventism. William Miller and Ellen White was there. People were on that Ascension Rock. It's just a beautiful place to be. Not only is it quiet and out in the country, but there's just so much history there, and I was just so grateful I could go up and spend a few moments there today. So we got the tent all up and ready for next week. So if anyone in the New York area, I would love to see you up there next Sabbath. It's just a blessed place to be. And Sister Powell knows that well. We had three camp meetings there, and it was just an awesome place. But I had a question for Sister Powell. Sister Leola told me that you were sending some things over to Jamaica, and that you were looking for donations, because it's quite expensive to send those things. And I just wanted you to tell myself and our listeners about that. And if anyone feels impressed, they can send you a donation. I have my donation for you, Mr. Powell. I got to call you and find out how to get that to you. But just wanted you to just mention that quickly to our listeners so that they will have a chance to share in your mission also.
Amen. Amen. Yes, brother. Rick, you finish?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother Rick, for joining us and even inviting us to Miller's Farm Estate, where the church will be meeting. I'm really sorry to know that I won't be here at the time. I will be actually in Jamaica, but I do know that you guys going to have a blessed day. And also, you know, when, you know, it's a place that I'm telling you, I am very comfortable up there, going up there, especially when I look and I saw that stone, and that stone was flattened out like a barbecue, like a pig, like someone do it, you know, and it was a stone. And it reminds me, you know, that, you know, the great day when Jesus will be coming, you know, and when everyone will gather at that welcome table. I have seen, you know, what took place up by William Miller's farm, and I just pray that our brothers and our sister will join Brother Rick. I'll call Brother Rick to get more information that, you know, a full group will, you know, go there. We have been from Advent Light, went up several times there, and we also have a wonderful time up there in the mountain. God is so good. So, Brother Rick, I just want to thank you for your interest toward the project Advent Light with the children back to school, the project, and also the Rosie project, and also the feeding project. I just want to let everyone know, you know, what I appreciate every help that my dear beloved have given unto me, because God's work have to go on. And even as Brother Rick was sharing, my dear beloved, I'm going to give you time. I was here with one of my granddaughter came community granddaughter, little Aubrey, and she called this morning and she told me that she was coming over with her mother and herself. And my dear beloved, she is 6 years old now, and I told her I have to go to the store, went out to get some other supplies to put in the barrel, and I said, Aubrey, can you pray for me? You know, that we have a safe traveling on the road to go to do what we have to do. And my dear beloved on this line, if you are that six-year-old girl child, pray for her grandmother. Ask for protection. Ask for care. And that prayer wasn't like a six-year-old child. That prayer was like an advanced child. So anyhow, I came back from out there. Thank God for my dear driver, Sister Vivian, who took me, and we were there, my dear beloved, went into the store, and we got a lot of things there to put in the barn. And Aubrey and our mom came, and my dear, we were blessed with some other stuff to put in, and we had prayer together, and we were just having a good time. They left her shortly, but I am saying, you know, it's good for us to really look and take care, you know, of our children, my dear beloved. You know, our children, they are so precious. Our children will be the leaders of tomorrow. And I really have a special love, you know, for my children, them, for our children. So I'm asking you all to really remember those little ones, you know. Remember them. Remember them, my dear beloved. They need your prayer. And let us pray, continue. And thank you, Brother Rick. The project is still going on. Thank you for your donation. And thank everyone for their contribution. And everyone on Advent Light have a part in this project that we have been doing. We know that we went to Louisiana the other day, and we had a good time.
We are expecting, as God bless us, to go to Boston. We're praying about that. We are actually having our branches in Philippines and also in Belize and in, my dear beloved, not only Jamaica alone, in every little area that we see that we need help, that people need help. We are here for them. So I just want to thank everyone on Advent Life, because Sister Powell could not do it alone, and without you, you know, it is impossible for her to do it. But I just want to thank everyone for their prayers, for their contribution, for their bags, for their posting, mailing the stuff, you know, from Louisiana to Jamaica. It's, I'm telling you, it's just a joy. I'm going to do shopping for the children. So I am just grateful to know that, you know, I have my brothers and sisters who are in the work, you know, doing the work. So if you are not even there to go physically, you know, spiritually, you also are there. So thank you again, Brother Rick, for hearing. Right? God is so good. God is so great. All right. Thank you, my dear beloved. Okay. 423-635. Your line is open. Welcome, and you can tell your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Carla. Just got calling in to praise the Lord, to give him praise and honor and glory, because we know it only belongs to the Lord. And praise the Lord, Sister Powell. We're going to be praying for you for a safe journey and for the family and the children in Jamaica. And, like you said, throughout the world, they are precious to our Lord. I want to share this reading. It's taken from Prophets and Kings, page 2771. It said, "The trial is at hand when there will be sorrow in the world that no human balm can heal. The Spirit of God is being withdrawn. Disaster by sea and land, follow one another in quick succession. How frequently we hear of earthquake and tornado, of destruction by fire and flood, and great loss of life and property. Apparently these calamities are persistent outbreaks of disorganized, unregulated forces of nature, wholly beyond the control of man, but in them purpose may be read. They are amongst the agency by which he seeks to arouse men and women to a sense of their danger." Again, Prophet and King, page 277.1. And this is so true, because just, I think last week sometime, it was a tornado in North Carolina where they have the, especially the Pfizer facility. It was, you know, all the medicine and the drugs and the stuff, poison that they're doing, it was destroyed. Most of the their building was destroyed. And, you know, I'm not sure if any lives was lost, which would be a tragic. But we know these things are happening all over the world, and Jesus is soon to come. These are indications that's written in the Bible. And as I read this, I remember that night I dreamt of an earthquake, and I was in an earthquake, and I'm not sure where I was, and I don't remember all the detail, but I dreamt I was in an earthquake. The earth shook. The first time I got up, I was in it, and I tried to find shelter, and then I remember it shook again, and I don't remember after that. So we know that things are happening all around us. So let us continue to pray, continue to lift each other up, continue to be faithful, and make sure that we get our home in order, our bodies, our physical and our spiritual home in order. And we warn the people of these things that is to come. And as I was listening to a servant, we shouldn't be scared of the first death, because Christ has died the second death for us. If we are found faithful, we shouldn't be afraid of death. So let us, he said, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So he died already for us, and he rose, and that's what's going to happen to us if we are faithful. Let us ask him to help us to be faithful, help us to be sinless. As I was talking to my uncle today, you know, he's the belief of the Sunday church, and I was just trying to share with him, and I will continue to pray for him and share with him, because, you know, they believe a lot of the same, but they also believe the Sabbath was done away with. That was for, you know, the old days, and, you know, just different other beliefs. They don't, well, the commandment, which the Sabbath is also stated in the commandment, but I told him it was written in also the New Testament, and we, you know, we were talking about you have to be holy and sinless, and he said, you know, we're sinning every day, but that's true, but God wants us to be overcomer. We cannot get victory within our own strength, but through Christ we can be overcomer, because we're in this sinful body, but we don't have to sin. We have to ask the Lord to help us so that that nature will die to that nature of sin, and that we'll live to the nature holiness and righteousness unto God. So thank you again for opening up my line. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Carla, for joining us, and also for that reading and encouraging word. And, you know, God wants his people, and that is the reason why we are here each night, to really study God's word and study God's truth. Because if Sister Carla did not know the word, right, she couldn't have presented to her uncle. You know, and despite her uncle is a Sunday keeper, she was able to share the word with that uncle. So the seed have been planted. And that is the reason why God wants us, right, each and every one of us on this line, not to just join this line each day to listen to the word, but the Lord wants us to have his character. The Lord wants us to be sin-free. And you know what the man said to Sister Carla, you everybody sin every day. Yes, we sin every day, but we thank God we have a advocate who we can go to with our sin, right? And he told us he is faithful and just to forgive us. So let us remember Sister Carla's uncle so that, you know, he will be obedient to the command when the Lord totally sends someone to speak to him. The Lord own self will send his guardian angel to teach him and to draw him closer to you. So I want to thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing. Yes, my dear beloved, we are going to open this line, 518-650. You know, we are here where we are asking you, everyone, to just share briefly so that we can allow everyone to share and to give God the blessings and praise, right? Your line is open, 518-650. Your line is open.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Powell. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. And I would like to pray. Oh, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, I just want to thank you for your keeping care and for your tender mercy, oh God, for how you have been watching over us, for how you have been keeping us from all harm, from all danger. Evil seen and unseen, dear God. You is the only God we can depend on. Lord, as we come before you this evening, nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. And the reason why we come, God, is because we know you is the only God, and only you alone can help us through all our problems and our trials. Lord, please anoint us from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. Lord, we will bless your name at all time, O God. Your praise shall continually be in our mouth. You are the only God that we can depend on. You is a great and mighty God. There is no other God but you. So, Lord, as we come this evening, we are asking you to forgive us of our sins. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness. Make us into what you want us to be. Oh, God, have mercy upon us according to your loving kindness. According unto the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out our transgression. Lord, you are the reason why we are here this evening, because your compassion fail not. You every morning, Lord, great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with me. Lord, you change us not, and your compassion they fail not. As you have been, you will forever will be. Thank you for your keeping care. Thank you for all you have been doing, Lord. We come before you because we need your help. We need your strength. We need your power, O God. We need your guidance. We need your protection. Come before you with all our families, O God. We are asking you to cover them under your blood and to keep them from the enemy. The enemy is around about like a roaring lion trying to devour your people. But God, because we know you are God and we can call upon you, we can depend on you, we can look to you in the good time and in the bad time, O God, and give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, because you will see us through, and you will keep us from all the accidents and from all the dangers and from all the trials, O God. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, what you continue to do. Lord, as we come on this prayer line 3 times per week, O God, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, Lord, we are asking you to protect us from every obstacle, O God, because there is so much. Father God, only you know. So, Father, rest your loving arms around us, O God, and help us to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Lord, we give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Be with each one on this prayer line, O God, who are listening and those who are in the background, Father. We give you everyone because each one of us have our problem. You know our problem, Lord, so we give them to you. You say, leave our burden at the foot of the cross, and you will take full control of them. Please, God, heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Open shelter for the homeless. Freely you receive and freely you give, dear Father. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering. Thank you for what you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. I pray and I give you thanks. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for praying for each and every one of us. It's good. We welcome everyone on Advent Light tonight, and we are going to open this line before we go into our season prayer. 585-7305, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Powell. Hello, my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy, because God is good, he's merciful, he's worthy to be praised, Sister Powell. Sister Powell, I like to thank God for everything you have done for me, because he is good, he's worthy to be praised. And Sister Powell, I only go to Bay Cove only on Tuesday and Thursday. So I don't know, Sister Powell, I'm praying for my mother. I'm praying for my mom. My mom needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Powell, I'm praying for you and Sister Carla. I'm praying for Sister Tamiko. I'm praying for Sister Stephanie. I'm praying for all of you. I'm praying for the ladies, Sister Powell, that the ladies will sing, come to share scripture. I'm praying that Sister Carla and Sister Tamiko will sing that song, I Love You, Lord, because God is God. God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised. I'm praying, Sister Power, that you guys will come to Bay Cove, that Sister Power. I am inviting you, Sister Power, Sister Carla, Sister Tamiko, all the team on this prayer line. And Sister Power, I'm praying for Brother Rick, that Brother Rick will bring a word. Brother Rick will bring a message on the people at Bakov, that the others at Bakov need the Lord at this moment, because Sister Powell, we God is good, Sister Powell. He's worthy to be praised. And Sister Powell, I don't know, I want to sing a song before the speaker sing, but Sister Powell, I don't know, because I want to sing a song before the speaker speak. Tell Brother Rick, Sister Powell, to pray that he will come preach at Bakov, that he will bring a word. He will bring a word of encouragement to at Bakov, that the people, the others, you know, to treat me like with love, kindness. Sister Powell is saying Colossians 3 verse 12 and verse 16. And Sister Powell, I don't know, can Sister Carla, before she pray, I don't know, can she share that scripture, Sister Powell, Colossians 3 12 verse 16. I don't know, can Sister Carla share it, Sister Powell? Let me say that scripture again. Colossians 3 12 verse 16. I don't know, can you share that, Sister Carla, before you pray? Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Sister. Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming and sharing encouraging word. And Deco, we are all praying about that. And Sister Carlo, your request, Brother Eli, had requested you to read Colossians, what he said, you know, 3 to 12. Okay, I'm going to open your line. 423-635, Sister Carlo, Brother Eli is asking you if you could read the scripture passage. Okay, maybe Sister Carlo. Are you done mute? Can you check your phone, Sister Carlo? All right. Sister Carlo, step out. Sister 843-206. Sister Tamiko, can you read that scripture for Brother Eli? 843-206, the line is open.
I'm sorry, my phone was muted. Sure, I can read that scripture for Brother Eli. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's Colossians 3:12-16. It says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, souls of mercy, kindness, humbleness, mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And verse 14 says, and above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of union. Verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, so that which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16 says, the word of Christ dwells in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Yes, Brother Eli. Sister Tamiko, thank you for reading that scripture, Colossians 3, verse 6. You know, Brother Eli, we got a lot of kind words from that scripture passage, that one passage. Love, kind, humble, patient, all these characteristics that God have given unto us in these words, Brother Eli, he wants you to accept them, right? And despite of what is happening at Deco with all those friends, all we have to do, be humble, be kind, be loving, tender heart, and even long suffering, and pray for one another. So God is able to do all things, right? And also, Brother Eli, you have to show those individuals, they don't know Christ, but you know Christ.
So you have to show the love of Christ within you so that they too will see, Lord, I have been, you know, what they would call in bullying Brother Eli. But look at what Brother Eli is doing. Brother Eli is there strong in the Lord. Brother Eli is must be praying because Brother Eli is not paying them no attention. So all you have to do, my dear beloved, we are here on this line to help each one, you know, when we are going through problems, trials, and tribulation, that we can take it to the Lord in prayer. And he promised us that he will hear and answer according to his will. So we just want to thank everyone tonight on this line, you know, and let us really look forward as we have been going into the last day event. We just read a while ago Daniel, right? We read Daniel 7 and we saw what is happening in this world. And this world is something about, you know, we all have to be ready, right? And we know about the judgment. Some of us is afraid of the judgment, but we know what the Lord is doing right now in the most holy sanctuary, interceding on our behalf, investigating judgment. So every one of us have to be rooted and grounded, you know, in the truth, and also that we will also share the truth to those out there who we do not know. So we have a responsibility, a great responsibility. So we will offer a word of prayer now, and we thank everyone for joining, and we are going to ask Elder Rick, you know, and again, my dear beloved, I'm asking Brother Rick to give us some more information about the William Miller form so that whosoever can go, you know, the next Sabbath, you know, if you can go attend, I'll make up a group plan, try to plan, you know, that you guys can go up there to worship with Brother Rick and the other brothers and sisters. Right? 518-744. I'm asking you if you could lead us in prayer before the speaker. I don't know who is speaking tonight, but before the speaker comes.
Yes, Sister Paul, let me just get to a quiet place here. We do not want to be disturbed in our season of prayer. And I just praise the Lord for all the people who called in tonight. And it's just a blessing to hear the brothers and sisters on the line praising God and giving their cares and worries to Him. So let us bow our heads. Oh, Father, we just take a moment out from our day, Lord. You have heard the praises. You have heard the prayer request, Lord. You have heard the kind words. You have heard the all that has gone on, Lord. And Lord, we just praise you. Praise your mighty name, Lord, because you are so good. You are awesome. You take care of our every need, Lord. Father, we do not deserve this. We realize that, but Lord, at this moment, we want to ask that you would forgive each one of our sins, Lord. Remove them from us. Wash us white as snow, Lord. Cover us with the robe of Christ's righteousness, so when Father God looks at us, we will be holy, we will be righteous, we will be pure. Lord, that is our desire. And Lord, as we have talked tonight, we say, Lord, each time we come to you, Lord, we have to ask for forgiveness. And Lord, we just ask for that deep, heartfelt repentance, Lord, that only you can bring. You said your spirit would bring that repentance to us. A turning away of sin, Lord. A desire to honor you, to follow you, and to put those sins away. Lord, may we hate them as much as you hate them. Oh, Lord, sometimes we don't. We like those sins. Lord, please remove that desire to sin from us, Lord. It is not in us. It is only in you that we can live this life that you have called us to live, Lord. We want to be witnesses, Lord. We want to be lights shining on a hill so others will see, will come, they will hear, And Lord, we can point them to you. They can come to know you. They can come to live in your love and in your grace. Father, we just thank you for Brother Eli's request to come to Bay Cove, Lord, and to share. Oh, Lord, may we make this a priority. May this become a reality. We go and share your good news, the good news of your soon return, of your love, of your mercy towards each one of us, Lord. You love each person in this world, Lord, so much that you died for them. Oh, Lord, we're just lifting up Brother Eli, that we would give him grace towards his brothers and sisters there, and sometimes they're not always nice to him. Lord, you have strengthened him. You have healed his wounds, Lord. You have given him a good word to speak to them, Lord. Lord, continue to do that for Brother Eli. Father, we think of Sister Powell, who will be going to Jamaica to continue her mission there. Oh, Lord, we just lift her up. We ask for power, for wisdom, for strength, all the things that she needs, Lord. Father, it is a big undertaking, and we're just blessed to have Sister Powell on this line and her witness to us, Lord, her testimony. So Father, please be with her and all the people that you'll be serving there, Lord, all those that you'll be working with, Lord. Guide them, keep them, bless them, Lord. Heal them, Lord, from their diseases, especially from the disease of sin, Lord. And Father, we thank you for Sister Brenda's testimony and Brother John as he is talking and telling us about the Word of God, how we need that in our lives. We need that more than food. I believe Job said that he desired your Word more than his necessary food, Lord. And Father, put that desire in our hearts. Your word would come before anything. And we know you promised that if we would do that, Lord, we would add all these other things that we need, that we want, that we desire. You would add all them unto us if we would just put you first, Lord. Father, we want our desires to be yours. We want to be holy now, Lord. Father, we just think of all of our listeners, all of our staff on the Advent night prayer line, Lord. We just lift each one of them up to you, especially those who are hosting. Lord, we just pray for them. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Give them a good word at the right time, Lord, to speak to the listening. And Lord, I heard my dear sister Tamiko, she is going through trials, and Lord, she is always praising you, even in the midst of her trials, Lord. So we do lift her up. We lift up her daughter, her mother-in-law, her mother, her son, her husband, Lord, all the whole family. Father, please work in a mighty way on her behalf. She's looking for a place to stay, Lord. So we just ask that you would work that out, Lord. Let it be in a way that she would realize it was you. It was no one else. There would be no other way but you. So, Lord, give her a testimony. And, Father, continue to guide and keep her. Lord, I just pray for my family also, Lord, my daughter Ashley. Not heard from her in a long time. But, Lord, prayers are ascending to you every day for her. And Lord, I know that you are taking care of her, that you are working upon her, that your spirit is convicting her of your great goodness to her and her need for you. Lord, I also lift up Sister Leola's son, Brother Joseph. Sister Powell got to meet him, and some of the other folks got to meet him there. We just lift him up and pray, Lord, that you would bring him back to your fold. Lord, bring him back the former soul. That he would come on this line, that he would share, that he would sing out your goodness that only you have for him. Lord God, we just thank you. We praise you. We ask that the speaker tonight, Lord, would be blessed with a double portion of your spirit. We're all with Brother Akeem. But we do want to lift up Brother Akeem because he has faithfully come on and shared so many truths to us, Lord. He has such a way of explaining and making the Bible come alive. So, Lord, continue to bless him in his church, in his family, in his ministry. Please watch over him. We thank you for hearing and answering your prayers, Lord. We just leave all these things in your hands because we know that you are a great God. You are the great God. You will take care of all of our needs. We praise you and we love you, dear Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' blessed and holy name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick, for praying for each one of us. And my dear beloved, I don't know, I haven't seen the speaker yet on the line, but if the speaker is on the line, can you press 1 that I can know that you're on the line? But my dear beloved, we thank Sister Carla each night, placing some wonderful quote, you know, on our screen here that we can read always, you know, the work that she has been doing for the Lord. And we just want to thank her, to allow her to know we appreciate everything that she has been doing and every one of us on this line. And it's stated here, and I think it comes from education. It said, in this closing work of the gospel, there is a vast field to be occupied, my dear beloved, a vast free field to be occupied. And more than ever before, the work is to enlist helpers for the common people. Both the youth and those older in years will be called from this field, from the vineyard, and from the workshop, and sent forth by the Master to give his message. What message? The everlasting gospel message, the message of the truth to the world. Is this his message? Many of these have had little opportunity for education, all right? Many for education. What happened here? That's all that, right? So God is expecting us, my dear beloved, for us to go out in the field and for us to share the gospel message out there and to share the truth. So I do hope that as we join here tonight, right, we will remember the true message that we are supposed to go out to share, the gospel message. And also, it is taken from Education 262:69, verse 3. It's so read again. He who knows the depth of the world, mystery, and despair knows by what means to bring relief. He sees on every hand souls in darkness, bowed down with sin and sorrow and pain. But he sees also their possibilities. He sees the height of which they have attained. Although human beings have abused their mercies, wasted their talent, and lost the dignity of God like man would, the Creator is to be glorified in their redemption. Education 271. So my dear beloved, God wants us here, you know, to be willing and to be ready so that we can go out there to sow the seed in the field, in the garden, to garner each and every one so that they will come to know the Lord, accept him as their personal Savior, and to also to go and share with others. Well, I will just, by the grace of God, if our speaker is on the line, we are asking you please to press 1 so that I will open the line. But I will sing this little song, share my little testimony of praise, and I want to be ready, and I do know that we are praying for each and every one of us on this line to be ready, that when our Savior comes, as we have been studying about judgment, right? For the end time is not for us to be scared, but for us to be ready and to prepare ourselves and to study the gospel message that God gave unto us. So, my dear beloved, we are going to go into a prayer. And the next voice you will hear is our speaker, dear Elder
Pastor Akeen James. Let's pray. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to us. We want to thank you, Father, for the privilege of prayer, the privilege that we can come here boldly to the throne, asking you to forgive us of all our many sins. You told us in your word, if we confess, you are faithful and just to hear and to cast all our sin, our burdens, our care at the deepest part of the ocean. So your children, come here, dear Father, tonight to get a fresh bread from heaven. Your word, Holy Spirit, Lord, we ask you to pour out upon each and every one of us so that we will get your truth, have your truth, follow your truth, do your truth, and also share with others. We present our dear beloved Pastor Akeen to you, who will be presenting the truth, Lord, to you. We ask you, Father, to pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon him, that the words that he speak, that each one of us will be lightened, Lord, with your gospel message, and we will be able to run to and fro to carry it out to the world. Bless us tonight. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord, and we thank you for this great opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, my dear, I have a little, okay? Yes, my dear beloved, this is the time that we are going to open the line. We are asking you all to get your King James Version book, your pen or your paper, your pen and paper to take notes. And the next voice you will hear is from our speaker, Pastor Akeen James. 301-640, your line is open.
All right. Glad to be with you all this evening. And I pray that each person is blessed. And we'll be continuing our study of the three angels' messages. And so I pray that it will be a blessing, that it has been a blessing to you all so far. We have seen thus far that this is the message that produces the final army that will stand during the time of trouble. And this is why it is imperative that we understand it in our time today, and that we may be able to stand then if we stand among that group called the 144,000. And so as we go into God's word, let's just have one more word of prayer as we continue in verse 7, going into verse 8. Father in heaven, illuminate our minds and give us wisdom and understanding, and help us to walk in the light. Upon these three platforms, O Lord, may we move and grow and be established. Do this for your glory and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So thus far, friends, we have gone through the fact that these messages are part and parcel of the everlasting gospel listed in verse 6. And we found out that the everlasting gospel is the message of the good news of the everlasting effects of Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his high priestly ministry, and his second coming. So the gospel is not just the good news of Christ's death. That is the centrality of it. But friends, it climaxes all the way to the second coming, which is part of the good news message that we have been given as a church. We have been given as a movement. But friends, it centers and is established upon the life and the death of Christ. And so as we've looked at this context in verse 6, the first angel launches forth to say, in light of this beautiful gospel, Christ, the fact that Christ came to live for us, the fact that he came to die for us, the fact that he rose again for us, the fact that he ascended on high and ever lives to intercede for us, and the fact that he's coming back for us, this good news is so good that in light of this, we are called to fear God. And then it just makes sense, right, to fear God in light of all that he has for us, in light of all that Christ has done for us. And it's not just to fear him, and we found out that to fear him is connected to keeping his commandments, right? And so as our lives are lived out in harmony with Him, in obedience to Him. Why? Because we have seen His great love for us, and that causes us to have love for Him. By that great love that He demonstrates to us, He plants His very love in our hearts. And with that love, we are able to love Him, because the carnal man in and of himself cannot love God. But Christ has wrought the miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts, so that we can love God with His own love. And as a result, live in harmony with Him. That is to fear God. And as we live in harmony with His principles, our lives become a witness. That is to give Him glory. For why? The hour of His judgment is come. And so, friends, we found out last time that the reason that this is so powerful is because after the three angels' messages are given, from verses 14 all the way to the end of the chapter, is a depiction of the second coming. So in other words, the judgment hour, the three angels' messages go out just before the second coming, which means, friends, if the three angels' messages go out just before the second coming, they're the messages of the last days, of the very end of time. That means the judgment hour is here, because we are living in the time just prior to the second advent. We may not know the day or the hour, but we can tell that it is approaching. And in light of this, God says a judgment period has begun. And it's powerful because this is how it was in the Old Testament, that as the people were preparing for the final annihilation of sin in their lives for each year, friends, it was powerful because in Israel there was what was known as the Day of Atonement, a day of judgment, when it is not only a time when sin would be forgiven, but sin would be blotted out. And in the same way, as I mentioned last time, there's a long way to understand this phrase, the hour of His judgment has come, and there's a short way to understand it. We covered the short way. The long way is that this judgment is connected to the Old Testament Day of Atonement. Just as the judgment day, the Day of Atonement, would come closer to the end of the Jewish year, in the same way, the Jewish year was a type of the experience of humanity throughout the generations. For in the Jewish year, there were a number of feast days that took place. A number of feast days. The Passover took place. And we saw that what point in salvation history does that point to? That points to the cross. There was also the subject of the wave sheaf. And as you look into the scriptures, you realize that that is connected to the resurrection of Christ. And also the raising of the from the dead, those who rose when He died. And so this is the wave sheaf. This was ultimately taken to heaven. Christ ascended with those people to heaven as a symbol pointing forward to those who would be resurrected at the end of time. And then about 50 days after that, the day of Pentecost came, which is in harmony with the feast of Pentecost. So on the feast of Pentecost, which fell on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit fell. So we're finding out that the day of Pentecost is what? That feast of Pentecost in Israel's yearly service was pointing forward to when the Holy Spirit would be poured out. In the same way, as you move forward, you get to the feast day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, a time when Israel's sins were to be blotted out, a time when the people were to afflict their souls. And this is pointing, as you can see, it's going forward. Each feast day is going forward in salvation history. So by the time we get to the Day of Atonement, it's powerful because the Day of Atonement, a language, is used in the book of Daniel in reference to the 2300-year prophecy in Daniel 8:14. That at the end of the 2300-year prophecy, the sanctuary in heaven, that is, would be cleansed. Cleansed of what? Cleansed of sin. Cleansed of sin. In the sense that just as it was on the earth during the yearly service, that throughout the entire year, the sins of the people were accumulating in the earthly sanctuary only to be blotted out on the Day of Atonement. In the same way, at the end of time, when the 2300 days had come to an end, which ended in the time period of 1844, October 22nd, 1844, the Day of Atonement took place. On that day, friends, Christ began the work of judgment, of blotting out sin. And ultimately, that work will end one day. And so, friends, what we are looking at here is that the fact when it says, for the hour of his judgment has come, it is pulling from Old Testament terminology, from the book of Daniel, and from the Old Testament feast day connected to the Day of Atonement. In other words, since time period of 1844, as I just mentioned, for the 2300-year prophecy went from 457 B.C. all the way to 1844 A.D. And in 1844 A.D., the sanctuary began. The cleansing of the sanctuary began. In other words, the time of the judgment, of the casting out of sin, of the blotting out of sin, had begun. And friends, the time is coming when it will end. But we are living in that time right now. A time when God is showing us that the judgment is taking place. And who does the judgment begin with? If you take your Bibles and you go with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11, we're going to look at this as we go to Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to go down to verse 18. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 18. It says, speaking of the end of time, or I should say the time of the end, it says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And now watch this. Actually, this is the end of time. This is in reference to 1844. It says, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Now, how do we know this is in reference to 1844? How do we know where we are in reference to the sanctuary in heaven? Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened where? In heaven. And there was seen, but where in heaven? Which part of the temple? It says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple, here it is, the ark of his testament. That's the ark of the covenant. The ark of the covenant is where, friends? It is in the most holy place. So what we are speaking here is in reference to the time of the most holy place being opened, the Ark of the Covenant being revealed. In other words, God's commandments are now to be exalted as never before. That took place from 1844 onward. And what happened? What began at that time? Verse 18. The time of the dead, that they should be judged. So in other words, the investigative judgment begins with judging. And you remember, it is in connection with the Day of Atonement, the Old Testament Jewish ceremony of the Day of Atonement. And remember, the Day of Atonement was geared towards judging, here it is, the professed people of God. So in other words, the parallel to that at the end of time, the Day of Atonement at the very end, which the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament prefigured, is pointing to a time when everyone who professes Christ will be judged. Everyone who has professed Christ throughout the ages, starting with the dead. One day it will transfer to the living, but it starts off with the dead. From 1844, God began with the first person who professed obedience to him that died from the very beginning of this world's history. And we know who that would be, right? It would be Abel. For Abel died before Adam, yet professed to be a follower of Jesus, professed to be a follower of the Lamb. Why? Because he gave the sacrifice that Christ required, which typified Christ himself, and he was slain by his brother Abel. Hence, it actually states here, the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and unto them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. So it begins with the dead, and it goes from the first person that died professing faith in Christ. Their cases are examined. This is what began in 1844. As I mentioned, there is a time coming. This is why God is calling. If we are indeed living in the final generation, God is calling us to recognize that the hour of his judgment is here. It began in 1844, and we have been living in it since then. But one day that judgment will transfer from the dead to the living. And this is why the message comes to all. This message is to go to the whole world. Because the only way to stand in the judgment and be fearless in the judgment, having proper fear for God, that is respect for God, is if we are found in the only one who can intercede on our behalf. And friends, this is where I'll read a few texts concerning this, right? A few texts concerning this. Let me make sure I find it clear. So first text is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Powerful text as it concerns the judgment. It says here, well, first of all, actually, before we go there, let's go to John chapter 5. Let's go to John chapter 5. This is our only hope, and this is why the message of the judgment must go to the world in its proper context. So we'll go to John chapter 5, and we're going to verse 25. John chapter 5 and verse 25. It says, verily, Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So this is in reference to the second coming, right? But notice what it says continuing. It says, for as the Father had life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So that means, contrary to what many are saying, even within movements that are rising up within the Seventh-day Adventist movement, that Jesus is dependent on the Father for life. Friends, according to the text here, and Ellen White brings this point out more in Desire of Ages, page 530, this aspect of Jesus being given the authority in his humanity, contextually, to have life in himself. This is talking about Jesus as a human. So hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority, now watch this, to execute judgment. Why? And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because, here's the reason, he is the Son of Man. In other words, when it comes to judgment, when it comes to the judgment of humanity, whether good or bad, God has given that work of judging to the Son. Why? Because he became human. Because he entered into humanity, Christ has the right to now judge humanity. Because he understands what it means to be tempted. He understands what it means to be drawn to evil. He understands what it means to resist. He understands what it means to suffer. Because he has gone through this, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So we're seeing here, friends, this is powerful. God has committed all judgment to Christ. That means, as we cover this aspect of the investigative judgment, the pre-Advent judgment, the judgment that takes place prior to the second coming, starting with the dead and one day moving to the living, the good news is this, and this is why this message must go to the world, it is that we have one in the judgment who became one of us, who became like us, who became human. In other words, we have one who is compassionate because he walked in our shoes. God sent him to walk in our shoes. And God loved us. That's why he sent him. Don't think that, oh, it's Jesus interceding for us because the Father hates us. No, the Father orchestrated the plan with the Son. And the Son, having free will as God himself, freely chose to come to this place and save us. So we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The second passage we're going to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And it says here, powerful text, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and this is what Jesus became the moment he ascended to glory. He was inaugurated in this role. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So we have a mediator. But the one who judges us, so we're seeing the one who judges us, is also our mediator. But not only is he our mediator, as we go to 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, and verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have, watch this, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, that is, he is the substitute for our sins. In other words, taking our place and taking our sin. And not for ours only, but watch this. This is why the three angels' messages must go to the world, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, in other words, it is our work, those who have the message, to introduce the message of the judgment to the people of the world, because it is to go to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Why? It is to let them know that the judgment hour has come, and you have a friend in the judgment. You have an advocate, the very one who died for you, the everlasting gospel, now intercedes for you, which is part of the good news. And this one who intercedes for you, who is the mediator, who is your judge, is also your mediator. And the same one that is your judge and your mediator in the judgment that is taking place now is also your supporter. He's your advocate. He is your friend in the judgment. Friends, when we recognize this and we accept Jesus as what he is to us, our sacrifice, our substitute, and our mediator, our advocate, our friend in the judgment, friends, we need not fear. The kind of fear we will have is different. It is a reverence and a respect for the Godhead. It is a respect for the Father, because the Father gave the Son. And a respect for the Son, because the Son was willingly gave his life. Not because the Father forced him, because this was a plan that him and the Father and the Spirit had from eternal ages. And they agreed on it. And friends, we have the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, the one who comes as Christ's representative to reproduce his character in us while he mediates for us, so that we can stand in the judgment with a character like Christ. Friends, the judgment is good news. And the reason that God points this out, that the judgment is happening, notice when we read in Revelation chapter 11, it talks about the time of the dead, that they should be judged. We talked about the fact that it would transfer to the living at some point. But notice the article that is pointed out. The article is the foundation of the judgment, the law. The temple of God is opened in heaven and testament is seen, right? So that means God is calling us. And remember, the law is the foundation of the judgment. James states this in the book of James, chapter 2, and verses 10 through 12. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And watch this. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. So the very law that is in the most holy place is the foundation of the judgment. We are judged by this law. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to reproduce God's character in us. And this is why, now as we close, this is why, and we will flush this out more next time, this is why at the end of the first angel's message, in light of the law being revealed and connected to the judgment, and connected to the fact that Christ is mediating for us while sending the Spirit to reproduce his character within us, that we may stand in front of God's law, and because of Christ being reproduced in us, stand without fault. This is why the last part of the first angel's message says this, and worship him that made heaven and the earth and the fountains of water. Friends, this is taken from a specific place in the Old Testament connected to the very law of God. And so we'll talk about this next week. But my prayer for us today is that we have seen the love of Jesus, that in the midst of the judgment, we have a friend. We have an advocate with the Father, the very one that the Father himself gave, showing that it is not only the advocate that loves us. The Father and the Son and the Spirit created a system whereby we might recognize that they all love us. And friends, if that is the case, and this system has been set up in our favor, it means the whole Godhead is fighting for our salvation. May we be drawn by that fact, is my prayer. Father in heaven, I pray these things we covered much this evening in a short space of time. I pray that it made sense. I pray, oh God, that we will find joy in the fact that we have a friend, the one who can understand our pains and our sufferings, our temptations, our woes, our sorrows, one who can understand what it means to lose someone that we love, one who can understand what it means to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be weary, to be tired. One who understands what it means to be abused, for he was abused. He was treated as nothing by his brothers, hated throughout many times by many people in his life, threatened with death by many, accused by many, and at a certain point, stripped and beaten, falsely accused and then crucified. Who knows what it means to suffer. And this one is our advocate. May we find faith and hope in this Lord. And find hope in this judgment. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Elder Akie, for that wonderful presentation, my dear beloved. And as we have listened to these messages night upon night, you know, where we all have to come to the understanding that if we don't present ourselves fully, wholly to the Lord, we won't be able to stand at judgment before the end, because we know a judgment is coming, just as what we heard tonight. And we are not supposed to be afraid of what's coming. But all we should be doing, each one of us, myself and others, is for us to get ready that when our Savior comes, we all will be with him. So I just want to thank you, my dear beloved. If anyone have any questions, something that you did not understand, and dear, my dear brethren, we are here on this line night after night listening to messages, right? And these messages is coming straight from the storehouse of heaven in the old sanctuary, holy sanctuary. And tonight, if you guys, any one of us here who this message is touch and want to, you know, give their heart fully to the Lord, we have our pastor, Akeem James, is right here, ready to pray for you guys. So if you know deep in your heart that we are not following the Lord the way the Lord wants us to follow, we give a little time, my dear beloved, on this line, you know, to give ourselves fully to the Lord, ask him to help us. So you can take off your line, your hand, and you can press number one, and I will open the line. Brother Akeem is still on the line, and I do know he's willing and ready, waiting to pray for us, you know, so who decided to follow the Lord despite of what, to hold close to him, to be obedient with his law, so that we can go to finish this work in the field, right? I'm asking you to press one that I can open your line before we close. We still have a little grace time on the line. They still did not cut us off. So I'm looking on the board if there is anyone
you know, who would like a special prayer tonight. Message up to you. You are not being really how we should, each and every one of us, you know, and we want to surrender everything to the Lord. We are asking you to pray number one, and our pastor will pray for you guys. Give you a little time that you can do. All right. I haven't seen anyone, Brother Akin. I just want to thank you. And my request today, Brother Akin, and I'm asking you, open your line. I'm asking you, please, to lift up myself and my daughter, who will be traveling to Jamaica weekend, to continue the mission that God wants us to do. So I just open the line, pray that God will pour out his blessings upon heart, and especially those wonderful children, you know, that we have been ministering to, and this project that we have been helping the needy. So I'm going to open the line for you, Brother Akin, please. I need special prayer, myself and my daughter and the team out there. We need a special prayer for strength.
Okay. All right. Sister Polly, you said you and your daughter, right?
Hello. Yes. Sister Stephanie.
Sister Stephanie, okay. Father, I pray Sister Paul and her daughter, Sister Stephanie, oh Lord, as they go to minister in Jamaica, Father, I pray as they've been ministering to the needy, to the children that are there, Father, I pray that you continue to provide everything that they need, all of the resources, as they seek to do this practical work of Isaiah 58, of ministering to the people right where they are. Lord, I pray that you will work miracles, and I know that you have already been working miracles, Lord, for the blessing of the people there. I pray, oh God, that as they go there, that you would take them safely, that you would protect them, and that you would protect the children, protect everyone involved in the project. And Father, I also pray that you will bring them back safely from Jamaica. Keep them, Father, and may your angels attend to them and work through them. May your spirit be poured out in this situation as they seek to serve as Christ served. We pray, I pray, and I ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Akin, for that wonderful prayer. And also, I just want to thank you for your presentation. And may the good Lord continue to bless you. I do know that you have a work. You know, I always call you my grandson. You know that you have a work to do for the young people, especially the young people, so that they will look upon your life and they will draw close to our dear Savior. So we are also praying daily for in your ministry and also praying for the family. So thank you for joining us. And my dear beloved, without you, we wouldn't have a line. So we just want to thank our brothers and sisters here for joining us. And we are asking each one to continue to draw closer and closer to the Lord. I will just close off with this song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." He's the only friend we have.